Praise God. How many of you know what Brother Ricky's talking about with being in a battle? Yeah. It seems like there's an increase in the power of darkness that the Lord has allowed to flood our earth. We're told to expect it, and the Lord is using it. And He's using it to prove who we are. He's using it to prove who He is. And I believe He's using it to bring about a separation in the human family. And, you know, we sing so many wonderful songs about who we are in the Lord and what He's done for us. And that's an awesome thing. It's an amazing thing that He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. I mean, what a God we have that knows us ahead of time, isn't choosing because we're worthy somehow and better than everybody else. He has a way of taking the worst of the worst and saying, that one's mine. Look what I'm going to be able to do with that one. I'm going to take them out of the gutter and I'm going to clean them up, and they're going to be something in my kingdom for my glory. I'll tell you, we have no reason to live for anything else, but this is an hour when I believe God is calling His children to grow up, to learn to know Him, exactly what Ricky's been talking about. And somehow, in thinking of who we are, my mind went to an unusual place, perhaps, this morning and in the last couple of days, because the question really is, how do we become an heir of all these things? Who is it that this is all about? When we're talking about the who we are in Christ and being chosen and loved and His children and all that, how do we get to that place? Who does that, is that talking about you, for example? Something to think about, isn't it? And a simple illustration. Now, obviously, everyone here has been born into the human family. That's how we became human. But just talk about a particular family. Let's pick on Philip. Hi. But how did Philip become a Johnson? Did he adopt a code of ethics and a code of conduct and learn to, you know, what the beliefs were and all, and did he earn the place? Or no, he was born. He was born a Johnson. And God help him. Yeah, well, that's all right. I was born 1/4 Johnson myself. My dad's mom. But anyway, and you know, there's obviously a process of being born and growing and learning how to live out that identity, but that becomes the identity of anybody in the natural sense. You know, we learn who we are, and we learn where what our place in the scheme of things is. But you know, it's not like that. I mean, it is like that in the kingdom of God. But we tend to think that we can somehow be born into a natural family and, well, this is our religion. We can simply come to church, we can learn the songs, we can claim the blessings for ourselves, we can just sort of embrace the faith of our fathers in that sense, and that becomes, well, I'm a Christian, I was born into a Christian family. But it isn't that way, folks. And I think one of the burdens that I have, and I have to trust the Lord with this, is this really, when we talk about things like this, is this talking about you? Jesus spoke to a religious leader who came to see Him with questions. And that religious leader was a leader. He was a teacher. He was somebody who would instruct somebody else. They would come to Him with questions, and He would give them the answers that His religion dictated. His name was Nicodemus. And Jesus began to talk about some things that He didn't understand. He says, you have to be born again because, if someone is simply born of flesh, that's what they are. You know, it's not enough to simply be born into the human family and adopt a Christian religion. I'll tell you, what the world is coming to is going to make a distinction. People are going to go one way or the other. They're going to either be in God's family or they're going to be in the human family, and the future of the human family is not a good one. Apart from Christ. But anyway, Jesus began to talk about a different kind of birth. And the one who gives that kind of birth is God. It is from above. It is something that brings and introduces into the heart not just a new religion, but a brand new life. Something has to happen on the inside that doesn't happen simply because you're born into a family and come to church. That won't do you any good unless you really come to this place where God does something that performs a miracle in your heart and gives you a new heart and a new spirit and comes to live within you. You will not have what it takes to stand in this darkness. Now, you can pray all the prayers you want to, but if you've never let Him have your heart and your life, this is not talking about you. And my prayer is for anybody. I'm thinking about young people who grow up here. We've seen them come and go too many times over the years. They sing in the choir. They learn the words. They sing the songs. They profess the professions. But it never has really taken root in the heart. Brother Ricky talked about the choices that we make. You know, even as a believer, we can make wrong choices. But, you know, so could Philip. And so do we all in our natural families. And that doesn't make him not a Johnson anymore. He just needs correction. And we're like that in our relationship with the Lord. And He's faithful to correct His children. He doesn't throw them out because they mess up. Aren't you glad about that? Thank God. He is faithful. Oh, His love goes way beyond that of any human parent. But I'll tell you, the problem is that there is a choice that has to be made at some point in someone's life. And until that point is passed, you're still on the outside looking in, trying to be this or trying to be that, trying to find who you are. And I'll tell you, I want to be His child. Praise God. You know, Livera talked about when she was baptized, and the thing that was most real to her was, I'm losing my life. Well, that life needs to be lost. Now, you know, you live a while and you suddenly realize this is a pretty temporary place. You know, I can remember, when Livera was a teenager. And many others here. Some of you were just kids. Some of you weren't born yet. And now look at us. And here we are, and we're feeling the infirmities of our age, and we're having to make arrangements and see doctors and all these kinds of things, and we're burying people from time to time. That's the way of the world. That's the world you're born into. Don't you just feel your youth and say, oh, I can make choices, I can do what, it's my life, I'm going to do what I want with it. I'll tell you, you cling to your life. Jesus said, you want to save your life? You're going to lose it. Now, did He say that because He was mean and wanted to be a big bully? No, it was because His heart was, I've got life that's really life. Do you know why you're here? There's no other purpose in your being here except to come to know the One who made you. You've got a temporary life and a temporary world, something we've said many times. But all the choices that we make when He comes calling, when He comes and begins to convict and begins to call people out of the human family into His family. And all these earthly identities go away. It doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or a Gentile or slave or free or all the things He mentions in the Scriptures that affected people in the first century. All those identities go out the window when we become a member of the real family. That's the family that's going to live forever, not because they're worthy, not because of any other thing, but what Jesus did on the cross. He is the one who defeated this one who's fighting against us so hard. The battle was won at the cross. His blood cleanses from every sin that could ever separate us from a holy God. Praise God. Oh, but have you ever entered in? Jesus talked about passing from death to life. You know, when a baby's born, they pass out of the mother's womb into the world outside. There's a birth. It's a real event. And it's not like you have to have a certain experience or anything like that. Everybody's absolutely different. Somebody could have one that's very dramatic, and somebody else is just a very quiet surrender. It's just private. But have you ever passed that point? Have you ever, ever been born of God's Spirit and come into His family? That's the question that hangs over every single person on this planet. You talk about who you are, every earthly distinction ceases to matter. Because the very world in which we live will one day, it won't be here. You could live your entire life, and as Jesus said, gain the whole world. You could be the one that owns everything and everybody looks to. You make all the decisions, and you live out your life in grandeur and power and riches and pleasure and anything you want, your heart desires, and then you're going to die. And you're going to face Him, and everything you worked for will be burned up and forgotten. You realize that? Does not the word Lord say of the new heavens and the new earth, the former won't even come to mind? Do you think we're going to go through eternity just thinking back, oh, I wish that could have been different. Oh, my God, full of regret. There is going to be such a newness, such a freshness, such a reality that God will put everything of the old out of our minds. It will be as if it never happened. Talk about something being brand new. That's incredible. That's the family I want to be a part of. That's the family that God would build and nurture here. Praise God. I don't know. That's the burden, I guess, I've had on my heart. I think of some scriptures from 1 Peter that back this up. Peter's writing to some of God's children. He calls them God's elect. And he talks about all the places they live in the beginning of the book. And he says they've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. That means God knew you long before you were here. Fact is, He knew you before He ever started creating the stars. God knew about you. He knew everything that was wrong with you, and He still loved you. But how does that choice work out? Chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. What does sanctifying mean? Set apart. That's the greatest meaning of the word. Let's say I was looking for silverware. Let's just pick silverware. And my only source for the silverware was to go through all the junk shops around and pick through all of the dirty, tarnished, messed up, bent, all those kinds of things that are just really, it reached the point of being junk. And I begin to choose. And there might be one that kind of looks halfway okay. Do I choose it because of that? I'll tell you, there's a God who will look there and say, there's one that's bent and tarnished. But I'm going to take that one that's in my pile. And here's another one that's in my pile. And there's a God who can take you from the junk heap and clean you up and unbend you and make you fit to serve a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That means chosen, set apart. This pile is going into the trash. This pile is mine. That's the God that we serve, folks. I want to be one of those. But there is a sanctifying work. There is a work that God would do. He's a spirit. And He will come and work on your heart and convict you and drop thoughts into your minds and show you your need. The real question is, what do we do when He does that? Do we resist and fight and put up our guard and just demand, no, it's my way? Just get away and leave me alone. I'm okay. I want to do my thing. Or do we say, yes, Lord, I'm exactly what You say I am. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And I cannot help myself. And I don't deserve Your help. But I'm listening. But I believe the words of the promise, the hope of the gospel. I've heard Your words, Lord, and they've touched my heart, and I embrace them. I let go. I gladly hand over this life that I cannot keep anyway. I give it to You. And I receive you into my heart as my life, as my Lord, as my Savior. You know, Brother JP asked last night, who is Jesus Christ to you? Very related to all of this today. But I tell you, there's a God who knew you, who went out to look for you when you weren't looking for him. I wasn't either. He came looking for me. He didn't come because he thought I was special, better than anybody else. I have exactly the same need as anybody else. There's somebody that's hearing this and you're in prison because you've done horrible things. I am no better than you are. When it comes to being a human being, we are born with a nature that drives us to do the very opposite of how God means us to be. And there is no religion that can fix that. There is only a Savior who comes to the inside, gives us a new heart and a new life, and then we learn how to live that life. Listen to how Peter puts it. He's exhorting us to how to live and how God wants us to live. Verse 22 of chapter 1, he says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth," see, there's that choice. Truth is going to come. What do we do when it comes? There's a respect, there's an obedience that has to happen from the heart. "Obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers." You know, you don't have anything that could be described as real, genuine love unless he, the author of love, comes in. We can sort of like each other for very selfish reasons. But the kind of love that he's talking about here, only God can put in our hearts. That's what we need. "So that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." Okay, how does that happen? How can I do that? "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God." I'll tell you, when God speaks, it's like planting a seed, and there's life in that seed. And our hearts are like soil. Oh, my God, I just sense just a tiny little bit of what the Lord is feeling. I wish I could sense it better. I'm such a poor vessel, but there's young people right here. You need to realize what God thinks about you and how much he cares about your life. And I'll tell you, if he ever saves you, no matter what it takes, you're going to look back with such incredible gratitude. Incredible gratitude that God would go to such lengths to cross your stubborn will and mine and reveal his love and his perfect provision. He's not coming and saying, "Measure up and I'll accept you." He's saying, "Come, broken as you are, give me your heart, your life. I'm the only one that can rescue you and make you what you need to be. I'm the only one that has the power, but you're going to have to give me your heart and your life. It won't be yours anymore. It'll be mine." You have been born again, not of perishable seed. See, human life just doesn't have the power to endure. It's not in it. It's been corrupted by death. You're born into Adam's family, that's all you got. You're going to die, and so will everybody else that's born into Adam's family. "But of imperishable," the kind that cannot perish. God, if God can die, so can we who know him and have been born of his life. It's his life that he shares with us. "Through the living and enduring word of God." Now here's, you want to look at the world and see it through God's eyes? He says, "All men are like grass." You want to glory in what's happening in the world and feel like you can step in and fix things and make a life for yourself here and conquer and do all those kinds of things, achieve things? "All men are like grass. And all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord stands forever." and this is the word that was preached to you. See, therefore, because of all of this, because you've got a new life in you, now rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. So how do I do that? You better go to God who can give you that. Exactly what Brother Ricky was saying. When I feel those things want to rise up in me, any one of us, don't you lie to me, they rise up in you too. We're going to have to go to the source. We're going to have to say, Lord, your plan for me is not me, but it's you in me. I need you. I need you to set me free. I do not have the power to be the person you've called me to be, but you do. There's only one who's ever lived the Christian life, and that's Christ. But the gospel is about him coming and living that life again through me. But listen to how that happens. It's just kind of like a human family, isn't it? It says, like newborn babies. They're born, but they're still babies. Crave pure spiritual milk. We better get something from him. So that by it, by that spiritual milk, by what we get from him, by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Oh, pray, taste and see, didn't we sing this morning? Have you ever really tasted? I mean, beyond just being in a place and feeling good. I don't know who this is for. But I just pray that God will, if you're one that has just gone along and you've never come to that point where you have passed from death to life, and it's a one-way trip and the bridge is burned behind you and you are his from come hell or high water. If you haven't done that, you are in an incredibly dangerous place. You have no idea what's coming. And God loves you enough to look you in the eye and say, you need me. You need me. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. God's building him a house. And it's just like Livera was saying, she likened it to an orchestra. But there's so many ways to illustrate the simple thing, the body of Christ, the parts of the body, a building, the various stones that go into making up that building. Though every one of us is unique, if we are born of his Spirit, we have been called into a relationship, not only with him, but with one another. You want to enjoy the fruits of truly being a part of the family of God, you better have him in you. You better have been born of that Spirit, because I'll tell you, events are going to unfold where if you do not have Christ in you, you will fall and you will go away and you'll turn away. You will embrace the darkness and you will feel like you did the right thing. That's a scary thing. That's where we're at in the history of this planet. But I'll tell you, there's a God who is so patient. If he weren't patient, he would have ended things a long time ago. You look at the things that are happening in the world, and they're going to get a lot worse. And I tell you, this is who by God's grace I am. I'm his. I cannot look in the mirror and see any reason why God would choose somebody like me. But that applies to every one of us. But that's the kind of a God he is. Thank God. All right, he talks about the fact that he's laid a stone, a foundation. But down here in verse 9, I'm going to read this. I don't think it takes a lot, needs for more to be said. Anyway, I only stutter when I talk. But you are a chosen people. Is this your identity this morning, or are you just sort of going along? Are you just sort of, well, I'm born here, this is my parents, this is what my parents believe, my teachers believe. Have you ever entered into this? Has it ever really become yours? I mean, have you crossed that bridge and literally burned it behind you? Have you opened your heart and said, oh God, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Please come in, take my life, make me the kind of person you need me to be. I'll tell you, I pray that if you haven't, you will. But this is the result, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. I'm not going to go into a lot of the detail of this. It just means we're in a position to help other people because God's in us. A holy nation separated to God. Yes, that's going to have its implications in how we live and the kind of people we are. But basically, it means I'm His, period. I'm not the devil's. Now, the Lord may allow that devil to fight, and He does. We have seasons where we do go through the kind of battles we heard about this morning. But we have a God who fights those battles with us if we'll trust Him and stand fast. There's a time when we are called to stand. I mean, having done all, what do? Stand. Because God is faithful. And God is strengthening the hearts and the faith of those who have to fight. Fight the good fight of the faith, He says. A people, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Are you part of this? Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I confess, this is an area where I wrestle. I'm no evangelist. And you know, I don't think there's any terrible wrong, but I'm not much for giving invitations. I'm going to do what I think they did in the Scriptures. If God's talking to you, you need to respond to Him. You don't need a big public something necessarily. I tell you the answer. First of all, it has to be you and Him. The Lord does tell you to repent and be baptized, doesn't He? Repent is turning from your own life and your own way and giving it to Him and recognizing that you follow your own way, it's going to lead to death. You say, Lord, come and give me your heart and your new life and change my heart. And then there is that testimony, that public testimony. But this is between you and Him. If He's talking to you, you don't have to wait. It's not a fancy prayer. It's not certain words. It's reaching out from the heart and saying, oh God, I need a Savior today. I put my faith in You now, today. Come into my heart and be what You have promised in Your Word. Lord, I don't come because I'm anything or because I'm worthy. None of that, Lord. I just come as I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that Christ died for me. And I'll tell you, if you do that from your heart, you'll know it. Others around you will begin to know it. And I believe God will put it on your heart to come and talk about it and say, I need to be baptized. I am His. I've been going along with it. I didn't know. Maybe it wasn't time. There's a time that God is going to bring everybody to that point of decision, that point of choice. Is this your day? I don't know. All I can do is put the word out there and say, God, You're going to have to do it. Pray, folks. Pray that God will convict those who need convicting. The saddest thing is for someone to grow up, to hear all of these things, to go along and just look like you're part of it. And then you get to a point in your life and it's never really taken root of your heart, in your heart. Do you think you're going to find it somehow in yourself to go on and be a good person? I'll tell you, if it isn't in here, this darkness out here will swallow you up. I warn you, I promise you, but there is someone who sits on a throne who went to a cross because you and I needed a Savior. And He willingly came down and humbled Himself to that cross. But He didn't stay in that tomb, did He? He proved by His resurrection that He holds the key of death and hell. That's the one I want to serve. If you miss this, you miss everything. If you see this and humble yourself and come to Him, put your faith in Him, you gain everything. Regardless of how events play out in this world, if you have Him, you have everything. If they walk up to you with a sword and cut your head off, are you going to be the loser? You'll be the winner. Man, that's a one-way trip out of this place. You know, I Brother Timothy mentioned, wrote the other day and mentioned that his dad had passed. And I just had a scripture come back to me. And I think we're going to see this in greater need. It's one that I think about every now and then in Isaiah. And I'll just read this and be done. I didn't even think about going here, but the righteous perish, and no one ponders it in his heart. Devout men are taken away, but no one understands that the righteous are taken away to be spared from evil. Those who walk uprightly enter into peace. They find rest as they lie in death. Do we really believe the promises of God that this world is not where it's at, that He has something beyond? If that's the case, then we can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. You want to talk about the kind of interest that pays eternally? There's where your investment needs to be. It's in Him and in the gospel. But it comes back to this. Who are you? When we talk about being chosen, being His children, are we talking about you? That's a fair question. And I pray that everyone here who is unsure, you will begin to seek God from the depths of your heart until you know. Because He will help you if you really want help. He loves you with an everlasting love. Praise God.